Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Can you believe it? I couldn't get on Blog Talk. What a crazy thing. Now, it happens every once in a while, but this time it would go into the program and would go into the studio, but it was all broken down into just computer garble, you know, and coding and all of that. And I'm looking and I'm going, no way, this is a new one. But I was just having a little bit of fun. So the bottom line on it is there's no chat today. I was lucky to get on and get in. And it's so interesting to me that when that happens, I always think of myself writing this note, you know, saying, okay, guys, I wasn't able to get on, you know, sorry. And then I just keep trying because I know eventually it will do it. But geez, it really is its own little monster. So anyway, we have today's Relationship Wednesday. And talking about how to instill greater love in a relationship. And, you know, we're always looking for more. We're always looking for what is bigger. What can we do together? Why can we not feel that we have such a close relationship? You know, any of that. And we don't really get to enjoy, I want to say, the fruits of the relationship as much as we did in the beginning. And in the beginning, it all went back to the fact that everybody was present. You know, you're on high alert, you're learning, you're you know, enjoying each other, you're only making time for each other. And then all of a sudden, real life starts splicing itself in there. And you start to look around and say, hey, wait a minute, what just happened? And we don't have to feel that. That's the beauty of not having a relationship that isn't extra special but isn't extra bad, where you start wondering why you're there. And one of the things that I hear a lot is, he used to do this, he used to do that. Or she used to give me all this attention. Oh, my God, when we were first together, she couldn't do this enough. And then you hear it and you say, but why not now? Why not now? What happened? Well, life happened. We kind of went back to normal, happened. But it doesn't mean that we forget each other. And yet we do. And I just, when I'm with a couple and they start talking like that, the first thing I do is truly remind them, just remind them of why they got together. And I ask them to tell me the story. And it's so simple. All you did was you told the story. So now you're telling the story, and it brings you back to why you're together. And then once you realize why you're together, you start to ask yourself, not anybody else, but you start to ask yourself, why haven't I paid attention to the person I chose to be with? And these are such basics. And it's the basics that we left behind. And we think we're going to make it up on a vacation. We're going to make it up on a Saturday or on a Sunday. But one of the most compelling reasons that couples stay together, just one of the biggest reasons, is the number of experiences they have shared, which explains why one-night stands don't work for the most part, a lot of the time, because you wake up and you haven't had any experience with this person. You don't know what they like in the morning. You don't know what they don't like. You don't even know if, you know, the clothes they're wearing are the way they look during the day. You don't know anything. So you wake up and you look and you go, who is this person? And you want to sneak out the door because you don't have experience with them. So as you grow and you build experience with somebody, you start to say things, and this is another thing I hear a lot. We've come too far because now they have the house and the car and the kids, and now they want to recapture or figure out what happened. Why aren't we excited anymore? And it's truly only not because the excitement faded. It's not why people aren't excited anymore. Because the number of experiences they have together have lessened. They may not even kiss each other goodnight before they go to bed. They may go to bed at different times. They may not even eat dinner together. Whoever got home first might make dinner, eat dinner. The other person comes home, eats dinner, doesn't even really think of somebody came home early and made dinner. One of you may shop for groceries. The other one's still on their way. And that's fine for a day or two. But when that becomes your life, what do you have? There are no number of experiences to hold on to. Really think about that. And it's true for anyone. Parents who have kids who stay in the room all day and they don't see them, they don't just have small talk, they don't run in the kitchen, get some food, and you say, hey, what else do you want to eat? Oh, you know, I feel like this, or, you know, I want to go see Sally today, or, you know, what school was kind of interesting today, or something like that. That doesn't happen. So when those things don't happen, neither does the relationship. It's really such a clear line. So I asked Christ, you know, I said, whatever this is that I hear all the time, whatever it is, it's so common, it's more common than it isn't. It's one of the reasons why people walk around and say, hey, we grew apart. Nice guy. Love him, married him. We grew apart. My antenna's up again. But what happens then? You're going to go and repeat yourself because it's the way of life that isn't changing. You may change this situation, but the habit of not seeing each other is already there, and you may see them in the beginning, but if you go to the next person and you say, well, you know, I don't know why we broke up. We just kind of grew apart. You grow apart when you don't pay attention that you are growing apart. It's a tough, tough thing to pay attention to because then you say, well, we'll start next week. So, you know, it's a big deal. But getting your work done at work before you come home, making sure if you work from home that you have an ending time. Because sometimes when you have an ending time, you will work harder during the day or more efficiently so that you can leave at 5. And I only found that out because once I had children, and I knew I had to pick them up from school, I also knew that I'd better get my work done before I leave work. And I actually became a better employee, better worker for me. And the people who stayed late and said, you know, acted like they worked harder than everyone else because they were there late were wasting a lot of time during the day thinking, well, when everyone leaves, I can catch up. But having kids taught me that because now I had something outside of me telling me to come home sooner. But if you plug that into your life and you make time every single day, and the exception to be, oh, I'm not going to be here tonight. That's the exception. And that you actually miss that, hey, I'm not going to be here tonight. I'm going to miss you. that's a different relationship than the exception being, oh my God, we have a night together. What should we do? Oh, you know, I'm kind of tired. Well, yeah, so am I. Well, you know, we'll just stay home. How do we get past just keeping love alive to building and growing and expanding love? And it's, you know, you wake up and before you get out of bed, you just kiss the other person somewhere, on the head, on the arm. Just kiss them, know that you're happy to see them. When you wake up, if they have a morning routine, let them do it. Maybe you could, you know, do something in the morning just to intersect. Like, hey, what are you planning to do today? Well, I wish you luck. I hope you have a great day. Wait, what do we want to do for dinner? Do we want to do anything after that? Oh, the kids have this. Well, let's go together. And sometimes that's the biggest glitch right there is when we say, let's go together. Because then you think, well, why should both of us be there? One of us could be there. Well, the other one does this and the other one does that. But if it's just 2 out of 3 times, go together. There's a lot of excitement when you go watch your kids do things. It doesn't look like it on the outside. It almost looks like a chore. But then you come back and you talk about it and you think of ways it could be better and you think of things that they could do differently and you all have a conversation about it. And everyone's interested in one thing and it's a glue. I found out, especially after the past couple of days, because we were talking about the Peculiar Daughter series of YouTube things, and I thought, you know, there's so many different ways to describe anything. But describe your relationship and ask yourself if that's the kind of relationship that you want. Is it the kind of relationship that makes you happy? That makes you thrive, makes you feel like, God, I'm so happy I'm here and I'm looking forward to tomorrow and I'm looking forward to today. Those simple things, even as I heard, and she's, you know, in another world in terms of her language and how she knows what she knows and, you know, what she's felt all of her life, and it's interesting to hear. Just another way to say what we're talking about as well, and somebody else may say it yet another way. And find the language that works between the two of you. Some couples, and one of them, I can't say a lot, I just saw it once, but when they're together and they're alone, they like have baby talk. Like they literally talk like they're, you know, really young, and they think it's funny, and it bonds them. It's their special thing. Others are real sarcastic, and they come up with these funny jokes, and they try to outwit each other. But when you have something like that, when you can handle making fun of each other and know that you're not trying to hurt each other, you're funny. You think you're funny. When those things can happen, that's telling you that our foundation is solid. And that, just the baby talk, just the sarcasm, just the telling your story of when you met over and over again. I know a couple who does it, like they still can't believe they met, and they're so excited that they met. And every once in a while, they talk about it. Like, wow, that day was awesome. Do you remember how we met? Yes, of course they do. And then they tell you their part, and you tell them, and you've repeated it 1,000 times. That love, that wonder, that excitement, that attraction, all of it, and giving it life and bringing it to today. I know people who've been married 35 years and 40 years and 45 years, and when they look at their partner, they still see the same person that they met. The part of them growing older just totally is out the window. I remember my mom. My dad was almost 70. And he was balding, pot belly, not a big one, but he had one. And he, you know, took a shower, got dressed, came downstairs before he went to work. And normally he dressed a little less dressy. And she looked at him. And she goes, "Charlie, why do you have to dress up so nice just to go to work?" Because what she saw was a 24-year-old man she married, and she believed that anyone who sees him will want him the way she does. And she really thought that. It was alive and well. My mom had a little bit of a jealous streak in her, not on the outside, but it would come out from the underneath, and it would be funny to watch. She was so in love with my dad, she couldn't see past that. And when he died, she died 2 years later. She never, ever thought she would be without him. And the way they got married and the way they met, you know, they were both supposed to marry other people because, you know, in our culture, the arranged marriages were alive and well. At that time, I don't know, you know, I've been away from it for a long time, so I don't even know if that still happens, but I do know it did then. And they were both supposed to marry other people. And when they got married to each other, when they met and got married, nobody went to their wedding that they knew because they broke the rules. But that story about how they met and how they, like, kind of bucked the system, kept them alive forever. That magic of them wanting to cross that line to be together was their story. It had so much energy in it, so much fuel in it, so much love in it, that it lasted even beyond their lifetime. They're gone, I'm telling you the story. And my mom used to say, there's two things you can never hide. And this is before the time of abortion, so she just didn't know. But she'd say, love and pregnancy. Can't hide either one of those. At some point, you have to have the baby. Everyone knows when your love is true. And she believed in true love. And when I ask people, and I've talked to people who've been married 60 years or more, and I'd say, what kept you together all this time? They'd say, you know, we started with nothing. She had $20, I had $30. But in their time, that was a substantial amount of money. And then the man told me, I made a promise. And it's a sign of his times. We make promises all the time. And sometimes it's hard to keep up with them with all the pressures we have. Doesn't mean we don't want to keep the promise. It doesn't mean we're a bad person. But what it does mean, is that you in your heart want to be a better person to yourself and to the person you're with in the relationship. I have couples who are directly affected by the other one's mood. If their partner is upset at them, they're upset all day, even though they don't know why and they haven't talked about it yet and they're going to wait until the end of the day to do it. And one doesn't know why the other one's mad. It affects them. Because you don't want your partner to feel not at ease because of you. And letting them know that instead of being scared and waiting for the, you know, bomb to blow up and you're going to get in trouble or whatever it is. And most of the time we have a reason, we kind of have an inkling why. But instead of waiting for that to show up at your door, you say, you know what, I'm really sad that you don't feel good about something. And I really can't wait till we talk about it and we solve it and we just get to go on. little things that look like nothing, that feel like nothing while I'm telling them to you, are what keep people together forever. It's what keeps people together is finding a working system in the relationship, knowing that whatever that person does, you know they didn't do it deliberately to hurt you, to hurt the relationship. I talked about yesterday, and I had to post it because I was talking to somebody about it, and I thought, darn that insecurity. It always gets in the way. And it makes us do things that hurt us and hurt the people around us because we ourselves are hurt. And when we're insecure, we think the whole world is against us, not just what's going on in front of us. The whole world is against us. We really believe it. And we act out in a way that says the world is against us. And we look for everything in life that's against everybody. And we can build an argument in 10 minutes. But what we forget is we can also build the other argument. The one that says, why do I pay attention to that? I don't need to do that. Why am I doing this to myself? Why am I doing this to my partner? Question yourself, not them, first. Building greater love into your relationships to simplicity. Saying I love you when you feel it instead of, he knows. He knows I love him. Never gets old. Never, ever gets old. Saying thank you. Tell me the last time you got mad when someone said thank you to you. You go, oh, wow, they noticed I did that. Oh, wow, that was important to them. It was important for me to do it, but it was important to them, and that's important to me. Saying, hey, you did a great job on that. I just wanted you to know. If you really think they did. And if you look at something and you think they need help, you can also say that because that level of honesty builds trust. Telling them when you love what they made and telling them, well, this might not be my favorite dish. Doesn't mean it's a bad dish. They may not have liked an ingredient in it or whatever. But then you know that they can tell you the truth and not feel that it will directly hurt your feelings and that you just may not want to make that for the two of you because they're not that excited about it. Those kinds of little things, it's those small baby things, the little nuances in a relationship, the number of experiences, is what brings people together and what takes them apart. People who may not have otherwise gotten along, but do everything together, stay together, and they find a solution. They worked hard at it, but they do it. And when they come out at the other end, they both feel proud of themselves and of each other for having stuck it out. It's such an amazing, beautiful triumph to trust the person you chose to spend your time with. And that's exactly why the bond between a parent and a child, for the most part in life, never breaks, even when there's been huge hardships in it. The bond never breaks because the parent is always there for the child. The number of experiences they have balance out the good, the bad, the ugly, and the indifferent. And when you take that same mentality and you apply it to your relationships, things, you know, how a kid has a schedule at night and they, you know, have to do their homework, they have to take a bath, they have to get ready for school the next day, and you help them. I know we don't help adults, but sometimes working side by side, when you come home, you're both in the kitchen. You both know dinner's both of your responsibility. Unless you both decide that one of you doesn't like having a second person in the kitchen. If you guys want to watch a show, agree on one instead of watching two separate TVs because he likes this and you like that. Put your gadgets down. You're both home. And the gadgets aren't good or bad. You might get somebody trying to get in touch with you, but to let it dominate your evening. The number of experiences you have with anybody is how and why you stay together. People who grow apart because they don't see each other. Even friends. When you first meet some friends, you see them all the time, and then later on, either one of the two of you moved or you got a different job or something happens like that, and you don't see each other very much. What happens? You grow apart. But then when you see each other, you're really happy, and then what happens? You catch up. And when you catch up and spend that time together, that's what keeps that friendship going. It all goes back to time. That was the interesting thing in all of this. How do you build greater love into your relationship? Give it time. That's it. No big mystery. Isn't it cool that that's all you needed to know? You will be able to face anything the two of you need to face when you have the time to face it. And I love that. I have 10 seconds left. We have Dream Theme Thursday tomorrow. I will see you then. I love you guys. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning.